Okay, so last time we saw Ois Zion, Tariyot Ois Zion. So let's just sum up what we're holding, and then we'll Hashem go by there. Okay, so the last thing we saw, Rav Nachman, again, Nachman told us that this the world of Tikkun, Avodas Hashem, where Eiris and Kelim combine to each other, and the higher the Eiris, the more they activate and animate and enliven the lower Kelim. So Nachman, we saw describe that as like a heart that's pulsating energy throughout the entire body, through hands and feet, where there's clapping and dancing and simcha. And that was in contrast to the world of the Bali Gaiva that he described, the world of sadness, of where there's this constant growth in terms of light, in terms of neshama, but it's not with the focus of integrating with the kelim. So there's this growing disconnect between the two. And that's what we saw last time, that in order to that just being in the presence of the tzaddik who's truly alive, his body is full of that energy that the neshama that is being drawn down by the neshama, that hopefully will influence the other type of yid to get on the same page. But that's what we saw. Now the last thing he mentioned in Isaiah, we'll continue with this, is that this dynamic of the heart invigorating the hands and feet, right, of a Yiddishkeit where the ruach, the light, the neshama, so to speak, is invigorating the kelim. So he then went on to describe that in terms of Torah. And he said, that's what Isaiah was about, is that the hands represent Nigla, the feet represent Nister, and the heart, which is Torah itself, Bereishis starts with the Beis, ends with the Lamed, that's Lev, that's the heart, that's the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the heart that invigorates and sends its energy to the hands and feet, that's the Torah that enlivens Nigla and Nister. So that's what we saw last time. Now this is an idea against familiar. We speak about this all the time, connecting Nigla and Nister. But that's what you see in this description, is that it's the same energy from the heart that's invigorating both Nigla and Nister. To a certain degree, in the camp of the tzaddik, in the camp of Tikkun, where Eiris and Kelim are enlivening each other and they're integrated. So that integration ultimately is also reflected in the learning that the tzaddik does, which is integrating Nigla and Nister. And the truth is, to a certain degree, deeper than that, not just integrating Nigla and Nister, but recognizing that both Nigla and Nister are really both shells. They're both mediums through which one experiences something deeper than both. In other words, if a person takes Torah at face value, so to speak, then there's a real disconnect between Nigla and Nister. And even if a person's trying to find Ruchnius, so that's the Nakuda. If a person is trying to, if their goal is trying to find practical guidance in the world, then they're going to be focused on Nigla, they're going to disregard Nister. If they're looking for Ruchnius, they'll be looking for Nister and not Nigla, right? So if you're looking for Gashmiya, so to speak, you know, guidance in the world, Nigla. If you're looking for Ruchdi, it's Nister. But the true universe of Tikkun recognizes that both of those realities, Ruchdi and Gashmiya, are both constructs and are both dimensions that Hashem created for Him to reveal something deeper than both through them. I mean, how is it possible that in the world of Tikkun to integrate Eiris and Kelim? Like, Eiris and Kelim are very different. These are very different realities. What does it mean? What's the mindset through which a person approaches Avodas Hashem that integrates, that allows that integration to take place? The answer is because if a person's looking for Ruchnius, then he's going to be focused on Or. If a person's looking for Gashmius, he'll focus on Kelim. So how do you? The answer is a real Avodas Hashem is not looking for either. Real Avodas Hashem is looking for God Himself. And God Himself is deeper than both Ruchnis and Gashmis. And God Himself is deeper than both Ruchnis and Gashmias, and God Himself created both Ruchnis and Gashmias, in which case you're able to, from that deeper search for God Himself, then there's no difference between Ruchnis and Gashmias. The question is just, what does Hashem need me at this time? And like we've been talking about, it's a quest to fulfill what God wants, and what God wants is a world that's a gashmius, that world of kalim, animated with light, animated with neshama. And so again, the person that's the difference between selfishness and non-selfishness. Selfishness is the person is looking for something for himself. So either kalim speak to you or Ari speak to you, either ruchnis or gashmius. But a person but the tzaddik in this category that's truly batel to Hashem, he's not interested in either. He's interested in God Himself. And fulfilling God's rutzin, and God's rutzin is integrating the two. So, you know, the person who's looking for atzmi, is looking for God Himself, then that person is going to realize that nigla is a vehicle through which to experience God, nister is a vehicle through which to experience God, and that's what he's looking for. So there's no difference between the two. Again, he's not looking for obviously everyone needs practical guidance and everyone likes ruchnias, but that's not really what the person's looking for. So nigla, when you're looking for God Himself, then nigla stops being an independent sort of self-contained construct. Nister stops being a self-contained construct. They're just mediums. They're just, both of them are empty shells. Both of them are just limbs of a body waiting to be enlivened by the heart. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what unites the two. And just like in the mashal, the hands and the feet. The hand doesn't have its own, system of life. The feet doesn't have its own system of life. They're both just shells waiting for the heart to enliven both of them with the same energy. That energy from the heart, the blood from the heart that goes into the arms, could have been the same blood that went into the feet, right? So when the blood with energy and so on, with oxygen and so on, goes into the arms, so because of the nature of the arm, it enlivens the arm to function as a good arm. And when the blood, that same blood, goes into the feet, because of the particular nature of the limb of the foot, it animates the foot to be a good foot. But it was never... But fundamentally, the arms and the feet were just particular limbs with their personalities, and waiting for that energy that comes from the heart. The energy of the heart was neutral. The energy of the heart was good for both, right? So the same thing over here. Nigla and Nister are just particular limbs waiting for animation. That animation is God Himself. So if you're interested in God Himself, then you'll be able to An animated arm and an animated foot is all the same, and they complete each other. There's no steer at all. That's ultimately what tikkun looks like. So, in other words, what we're seeing over here is again that in that camp of tikkun, it's more than just it's humility that is the key, but it's also identifying what it is that you're looking for. You're not looking for ruchnias or gashmias. You're looking for, like the Baal Tanya would famously say, he's looking for God Himself. And when you're looking for that raw, sort of neutral force of God Himself, then everything that God animates is now is unified through that experience. So he'll explain a little bit more. I don't know if it'll get any more understandable, but okay, Ches. V'zeh b'chinas Mordechai v'Esther v'Haman. Okay, this from this we could understand the story of Mordechai and Esther and Haman, Bechinas Purim, the story of Purim, Bechinas Gairel Shehippel Haman, the Gairel that Haman used to make his Gezerah, and Bechinas Omer Sa'irim, and the measurement of Sa'irim, the halachas of the Mincha, that Mordechai, the Gemara says, that Mordechai was learning at the time of the downfall of Haman, he was learning the sugya of Omer Sa'irim. So he says like this: Haman b'chinas havaydes halilim. Haman represents obviously the negative side, the side of tayu, of chaos, right? The side of avodah zarah, of ego, of not being interested in integrating aris and kalim, not being interested in God Himself, no heart. That's Kamei Merchachamin Zichar Levracha. Shatz Atzmei Avodah Zalilim. He made himself like Avodah Zara. Ubeshvil Zeh Hipil Pur Hu Agoyrol. And that's why he made the Goyrol. B'chaydesh Ameis by Moshe. The month that Moshe died, right? The month of Adar. Ki Moshe Mavatel Avodah Zara. Again, Moshe is the opposite of this. Moshe, as we said, many times, Moshe represents not the Talmud Chacham of Nigla, not the Talmud Chacham of Nister. Moshe embodies the search for God himself, which enlivens and unifies both Nigla and Nister. Both Nigla and Nister, they're both shells for that single true reality of God himself. That's Moshe. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person of all. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu brings Torah into the world, which the Gemara says, right, Yom HaShishi, right, Rashi says from Chazal, that until that day of Man Torah, of the sixth of Sivan, the world was shaking. The foundations of the world were not steady, right? And I was tell you, it was the integration of Eretz and Kelim, which means a stable reality, wasn't 100% until the Torah came to the world. So Torah is not just Hashem giving us guidance, and Torah is not giving us Ruchnius. You know, you had both of those before the Torah was given. The Avos HaKadoshim kept the Torah before it was given, and as it's explained in the Sfarim, they kept the Torah before it was given, but it was disconnected. You had Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and so on establishing a practicality, a way to live, in a healthy way, in a way that's settled, good kelim, right? Like Hashem says about Avraham Avinu, Hamachasinim Avraham. How can I not tell Avraham Avinu about Sodom? Avraham Avinu is gonna what's the lashon of the pasuk? He's gonna give it over to his children. What the lashon of the pasuk is, right? He gives it over. He's gonna give it to his children for all generations. And he's gonna create a healthy, healthy kelim, a healthy physical reality, a healthy society. With Midas and Yashris and so on. And on the other hand, they kept the 613 mitzvahs in terms of Ruchnius. That's how the Sfarim explained it. But it was disconnected. What's the Chiddush of Matan Torah? The Chiddush of Matan Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu is that all that Ruchnius that Yaakov Avinu was Isaac in some higher place is now able to be experienced in the Kalim of a pair of tefillin. And those the Midas and the Yashras and the Midas Tovus and the healthy society that Avraham Avinu was establishing within his family is now a space within which you could experience Ruchnius. There's to integrate the two, and that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, who's focused on one thing only, which is Hashem Himself. And once you realize that, once you're looking for that true, that deep nakuda of God Himself, then everything else, like which is raw energy of the heart, so to speak, then everything else becomes animated by that, and it doesn't, and the fact that it, that this part, that the, that the, that this expresses itself as an arm, and this expresses itself as a foot, doesn't make a difference, and that's just the particularities of the nature of the vessel that's being animated, but it's all the same. That's Moshe Rabbeinu in contrast to Haman, which fills a nikvar mul base bar. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is buried opposite base bar. In order to be mavatel the avodah zara of Baal Pa'ar. As Chazal say, Ki Moshe gematria charei naf, Moshe equals begematria charei naf anger, Ki mavatel charei naf shel avodah zara. Because again, avodah zara in the world, which means gaiva, which means haughtiness, which means not being interested in unifying Eretz and Kelim, because you're looking for something for yourself. You're looking for Gashmias, you're looking for Ruchnias, you're not looking for God Himself. God Himself is not as appealing. God Himself doesn't come with anything that you can say over at a Shabbos table. There's nothing. So if you're looking for something like that, then you're not looking, you know. So Baal Par, it's interesting. Why of all the Avodah Zarahs is Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, is the opposite of all Avodah Zarah. He's the embodiment of humility, the embodiment of looking for the absolute single truth. Moshe Emes, V'Sirasi Emes. And because of him, therefore, we have the Torah that integrates Eretz and Kelim, because from that deepest search of the singular truth of God Himself, everything is the same. Everything is just different kalim becoming animated by that simple, that single truth. But so he's the opposite of all of Avodah Zarah. That's life versus death. Integration of Aris and Kalim means a healthy body, means a healthy life, right? It's neshama in the guf. Whereas Haman is the opposite of that. He brings death to the world. But why dafka bal par? Why dafka bal par? All of Avodah Zarah, Moshe Rabbeinu is opposed to. So evidently, there's something about bal par that we need, like the Moshe himself to fight against. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is anti all of Avodah Zarah, but there's something very dangerous or difficult about Baal Pa'ar, the sign of Baal Pa'ar that requires Mamish Moshe himself. So the Kamarna in a number of places explains it like this. He says that what's the unique, every Avodah Zarah is a gaiva, every Avodah Zarah is ego. It's the opposite of Moshe. But what's Baal Pa'ar? So he says Baal Pa'ar is the gaiva of humility, is being able to say, look at me, I'm so humble. Right? That's what Baal Pa'ar is. That's what the Avodah Zarah Baal Pa'ar is degrading yourself. It's degrading yourself. So, and the Kamarna really, in a number of places, explains it in two different ways. Either it's a corrupted version of humility. Either it's like a low self esteem, which is not humility, or it's a gaiva coming from the fact that look at me, I'm so humble, right? So that's a very subtle, because you don't need Moshe Rabbeinu himself to fight against like straight up, obvious gaiva. But when you have humility that's really being fueled by gaiva, that's already not so pasha. There's a maisa from the Rebbe of Melech that there was a yid. He was like a parosh. He was nowadays you don't have this so much. Maybe I shouldn't say that. A person who fasts all day, and the type of description that we're talking about, secludes himself from people, doesn't talk to people, and just Isaac and Zonovaydis Hashem. So a yid like that, who always held himself as a big tzaddik, so he once went to visit the Rebbe Melech, or Rebbe Melech, he was in town, whatever it is, and so when the Rebbe Melech saw him, he sat on in the pasuk, and he saw Sir Ish Mistarim Vani Lo Yerenu. Right, so meaning the simple pshat pasuk and misasish and mistarim. If a person hides in secret, he runs away. Anila, you run. I'm not going to see him, says Hashem. So the Rebbe Melech teaches the pasuk on this year. He says in misasir ish mistarim, if a person hides himself and secludes himself, and doesn't involve himself in helping other yidden, vanila yirenu. Says Hashem, I don't see such a person. So in other words, the person can have madregas. The person can have ruchnias. The person could have hasagas. Could have ruach hakodesh. Vani, but God Himself, Leiran, I don't see such a person. That's what Rebbe Melech said. That's a very subtle thing. That nisayon, that yetzahara of being misaser ish mistarim, that's Baal Pa'ar. Because this yid walked around his whole life saying about himself that I'm humble, I'm an anav, I'm a tzaddik, never realizing that it was tayu, it was chaos, it wasn't tikkun, it wasn't Moshe. That's why you need Moshe Rabbeinu to fight against Baal Pa'ar. So he says the last line on the right side, Kihu kibla Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is the one that receives the Torah, which is the inyan of enlivening both hands and feet together. That's by the way, I'll just say something in parentheses right now, but it's, there's a, when we talk about Aris and Kalim, so in this farm by the Mekubalim, there's what seems to be a little bit of a machloikas or a disconnect. There's a famous mashal by the Ramak, Ramesh Shakar Devero. Again, I'm just saying this for those that are, in these sugis, it's good to know this key. In the Ramak, is a mashal to describe, everything is built with Aris and Kalim. So, all the spheres and so on. So the Ramak is a mashal. He gives a mashal so you have water, right? And you have many different cups, okay? And each cup is different, is a different color. So you have a red cup, a purple cup, a blue cup, right? And so you pour the water in each cup. So it says the Ramak, when you look at the water in the red cup, you'll see red water. If you see, in the blue cup, you'll see blue water. The water is still the same color. but it's experienced as a different because of the color of the cup. So says the Ramak, that's the way to think of the two basic ingredients that Hashem uses to create spiritual reality, which is Aris and Kalim, are all the same. It depends on the Kalim. So when the energy, when that blood saturated with oxygen goes into the arm, so it moves like an arm. So you say, oh, that's the blood of the arm, right? And then when the blood goes into the foot, oh, it animates the foot. Oh, that's the blood of the foot. That's shtus. It's all the same blood. When it goes to the arm, because of the kalim of the arm, it moves like an arm. And because of the kalim of the foot, it moves like a foot. Right? That's, you know, okay. That's one of the mistakes that they had I'm not an expert in modern science. I'm not an expert in ancient science either. I'm not an expert in anything. But one of the things of bloodletting, because there was a certain, like, if you know, there's different parts of the blood, different types of the blood, whatever it is, and you know, you let out some of the bad blood, you know what I mean, and then it'll be able to cure whatever the ailment might be. Blood is blood. There's no chiluk between the blood of the arm, blood of the foot, right? Anyway, that's the Ramak, that Oiris are all the same. The chilukim are just in Kalim. So, for example, what's the difference between Chesed and Gvura? So, Chesed means giving, Gvura means restraint. The answer is just in the Kalim. The Kali, the Kli of Chesed and the Kli of Gvura are very, very different. The Oiris that enliven the Kalim, it's all the same. That's the Ramak. In the Kisari, we find not like that. In the Kisari, we find the Kisari in many, many places. That just as there's chilukim in the Kalim, of the spheres, parts of whatever, I'm not getting involved with the infrastructure, but there's a chiluk between Kalim, so too there's chiluk in Oris. And every Or has a different shame of Hashem. There's differences. It's not just stam water that fills different colored cups. So this very often is seen as a machlekes, or a divide between the Ramak and the Ari HaKadosh. But the truth is, it's not so much of a machlokes based on what we're saying before. When you say iris, it depends what you mean, because there's different madrigas. Again, the Ari HaKadosh is certainly right. It's Taras Emes that even iris, there's chilukim, just like the kalim are different from chesed to gvur, so to speak. So the iris of chesed and gvur are also different. But the Ramak is also right that even deeper than that, there's also the essence. And even Iris is still just another medium that needs enlivening. Even Iris is not the ultimate thing, like you said, in this mashal, like Iris would be Ruchnius and Kalim would be Gashmius. The true tzaddik is not interested in either. The true tzaddik is interested in the essence of God Himself, which is deeper than both Iris and Kalim, and that essence is pulsating through Iris and Kalim. So the Ramak is actually describing something even deeper than quote-unquote Iris. He's describing the essence, the unspeakable kviyochol essence of Hashem that the tzaddik is really looking for. And that deeper aspect is behind the scenes of both Iris and Kalim. So there's in truth three different aspects. There's Kalim, there's Iris, and then there's the essence that is behind it all. We find this, and that's why Chassidus always focuses in that Torah of the Ramak, that Iris and Kalim, that's why both the Ramak and the Ari are using the term Iris, but they mean different things. That's in Chassidus, they very often, a lot, that Torah of the Ramak is quoted. That Iris is just neutral water that's in different Kalim. The answer is because Chassidus is the quest for that essence, that's the nekuda, that Moshe Rabbeinu aspect of God Himself. That's what Chassidus is giving language for. That's what Chassidus is about. So that's why they always refer to the Ramak. It's not a coincidence that the Torah of the Ramak is going to be speaking of something that is to a certain degree even higher than the Ari HaKadosh that the Baal Shem Tov highlights. We do have. There are letters, there are traditions that we have that the Baal Shem Tov himself said that he doesn't understand what the big Hesnagdus is to him. All he's doing is coming to be Mechazik, the Torah of the Ramak. That's what he said, which was like a strange statement, Torah of the Ramak. Once the Arizal comes, everything else is obsolete. You know, Torah of the Ramak. People learn the Ramak, it's a good foundational sefer, but like that. You see such a thing as the Baal Shem Tov said that. So, but again, it's that Torah that again, which until the Baal Shem Tov was always a point of contention between the Beis Medrash of the Ramak and the Beis Medrash of the Arizal. Are Oiris different? Is there a distinction in Oiris? The Baal Shem Tov comes and says, well, it depends what Madrig of Oiris you're talking about. You're talking about Oiris as like Ruchnius, that final sort of aspect of Oiris that actually are part of the Keli? That's the Arizal. There's differences between the Oiris. But if you're talking about the essence of Elikus, that's that the Oiris are bringing into the system, that essence is all the same. Okay, but that's just for training Mekubalim out there. Okay, so it says like this. So the top of the next column. So Haman, which is the opposite of this. So Haman makes the Goyrol. The month of Moshe dies. Kichasho kikfar meis Moshe. Hamavata koich avodis alilim. He thinks Moshe is gone, which means Moshe who stops the koich avodis zara is gone. So Mimela, he's going to have strength. Veinon misha yuchalavata koich avodis alilim. But what was his mistake? The mistake was, there's no Moshe, but you have Mordechai and Esther. Ava Mordechai ve Esther, hoyalem koich levato avodis alilim shalom. Mordechai and Esther together equal Moshe. They come together to take the place, so to speak, of Moshe. As we'll see in a moment. That's why it's not a coincidence. Through Mordechai and Esther, all of a sudden, there's a re-Kabbalah Satara. There's a re-Kabbalah Satara. And as we know, the Kabbalah Satara of Purim was Tanchum and so on, was the Torah Shebaal Peh, right? That's the famous Chazal Seid, right? By Har Sinai, we happily accepted a Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebaal Peh was a little bit begrudgingly. Why? Because it's so overwhelming. There's so much pratim. There's so much details. To fast and really to fast. How could I juggle 10,000 sifkotins? It's so it's overwhelming. Until Purim comes, we could do it. What changes by Purim? The answer is, it's 10 million sifkotins. And so you can't juggle 10 million sifkotins. But you know what? A body has 10 trillion atoms. So how are we walking around? Are you like keeping yourself going? Like, the answer is, yeah, the kelim are made of tiny, tiny little pieces. But when the neshama, when the essence is invigorating the kelim, that unifies the whole thing. There's a unifying aspect that brings together all these pratim. And that's the nekuda of Hashem himself. That's the nekuda of Ar. That's the nekuda of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so when there's a realization that we can overcome a Haman, even when Moshe Rabbeinu physically is not here, but we can do that, there's a revelation of this idea that of integrating Aris and Kalim, because there's a Nakuda that's deeper than both. So that allows us to handle the Pratim. The nature of Kalim is to be of pieces. The nature of Ar is to be unified. So the unification of Aris and Kalim means the ability to handle a Yiddishkeit of many, many details, but our ability to handle it is because all those details are unified under one singular force. And whether it be arms and feet and liver and kidneys, it's all the same blood that's enlivening it all. So all you have to do is focus on the blood, the Kalim will take care of themselves. And so that's how you're able to handle a detailed Yiddishkeit. So that's what they did. That's what they were zeichet to by Purim. K'maymer chachamim zechron levrach lechazal sein Shabbos kima v'kiblu kibum asher kiblu kvar. Right, that we reaccepted what we accepted then. Rekabal satar. V'zeo, and that's why it says these words kimu v'kiblu kimu zebuchinas raglin kimu like kayim, like something that has stability. That references the feet, which is nister. V'kiblu to be makabel something like. To receive something with your hands, Avachinas Yadayim, Vubachinas HaTorah Ba'atzma Kanal, and this is the Torah itself, which is again that Nekuda HaPnimis of Moshe Rabbeinu that allows the ability to handle the distinctions between the hands and the feet, Nigla and Nister, because you don't see it as a difference. They're all complementing each other. They're all being animated by the same Nakuda. V'zebuchin is Mordechai v'Esther, and this is Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai, Mor Deror, right? Mordechai comes from the word Mor Deror, right? Deror, Loshen Cheirus. Deror means freedom, right? V'zebuchin is Yadayim. That was hands. Right? Remember, in Isaiah, he said that the reason why hands represent nigla is because it says in Pasuk, that the hand is connected with the char, and char was from the word charus, which means engraved on the luchas, which means the Torah that you can see. That's nigla. And the word charus, Chazal interpret to mean charis, to mean freedom. So more deror. So Doror, which means Cheras, is related to this idea of Choras, of being engraved, which is a Torah that you can see. And Mar is again, Doidi Shalach Yodim Menachar, like the Pasuk goes on to say, Doidi Shalach Yodim Menachar, that's place of Mar Oiver, and his hand, the fingers were dripping with Mar. So again, Mar Doror represents the hands, which is Nigla. Esther who b'chinas Shukayin. Esther, on the other hand, represents feet. Ma yorech v'seser kanal, because just like why would, and feet represent the nister. Why? Because Chazal said that just like the feet are supposed to be covered al tznias, so too nister is supposed to be covered over. That's what nister means. So Esther Hamalka, who is sanua, like the Gemara says in Megillah, right? Achza plach shtika, that she was quiet. She didn't say where she comes from and so on. So that's the inyan of feet. That's tznias. That's nister. K'mayshakasav. I'm sorry. So Mordechai and Esther represents the hands and the feet, which is the nigla. That's why it's such a unique yontif, right? So we've had a geulas that have two people to them, right? Moshe and Aaron, for example. But it's not like Moshe is doing his side of the work and Aaron's like Aaron is just translating for Moshe. He's the mouthpiece of Moshe Rabbeinu. But over here, you have like two separate objectives. Like Esther has her inyan that she's working on in the palace. Mordechai has his inyan that he's working on by Klal Yisrael. It's a very interesting thing where you have a geula from two people working on it from two different angles, but obviously working in tandem, working together. And that's exactly what's going on over here. So you have Nigla and Esther. Very, very different. Very different. Esther Malka is being Isaac in a secret way in the government, behind the scenes. Mordechai is doing things out in the open, in the streets, screaming and yelling in a very, very public way, b'chinas nigla. And so you would think, nigla and nister, these are two separate zachen. But no, the afakir, they're mamish on the same page, and they're working together, and it can only be accomplished when both things are happening. It's because that's the whole inyan of getting rid of Haman, which means bringing tikkun and stability to the world, meaning it is about integrating ruchnis and gashmias by recognizing that ruchnis is itself just a medium to find Hashem. Gashmias, that's nister. Gashmias, which is nigla, is also just a medium to find Hashem. And what's the difference? So if I'm looking for God Himself, so Mordechai and Esther both understand that their asik that they're involved in is really just to create a medium through which Hashem is going to help us. And so that's why they don't see themselves as being Isaac in two different things.
Now, related to Bat Par at all? You said Moshe was against Negev the Bat Par. This is always a little bit.
So Haman is going to, in this dynamic, Haman is going to represent Baal Par. And the reason why is, for example, the Kamarna in his commentary to Megillah Esther also speaks about this, that Hamelach is a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Megillah, right? So when Achashverosh says to Haman, for example, you know, what should happen to a person Asher Melech of his Bikara? So what does Haman say? He's for sure talking about me. There's no one that the king loves more than me. But who's Hamelech? It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means Haman didn't think of himself as a Rasha. Haman thought of himself as a big tzaddik. Haman thought of himself as worthy of being the one to replace Knesset Yisrael. We think he's just a bad guy. He has the funny hat, and the funny nose, and like a shtickle piratey look in the little kid color books, and like he's the bad guy. These were very sophisticated people. Less man to say lashon hara and to be makatrig above and to kiviyachol, you know, pay saras alof and kikar kesef. Aseres Halof and Kikar Kesef represent, the Kamarna talks about this, Aseres Halof and Kikar Kesef, the 10,000 silver pieces that he was going to pay off Achashverosh represented the entire infrastructure of Kedusha. It means Haman is coming, you have to understand, so Haman represents the 70 nations, right? It's similar to Bilam, it's the same Bilam also with Baal Par. It's the same Klippa. Haman comes to Achashverosh but he's just like when Mordechai and Esther are talking to Achashverosh, they're talking to Hashem. Achashverosh doesn't chap what's going on. He's a melch tipish. He doesn't chap. The real tipshus of Haman is that he doesn't realize that when people are talking to him, they're not talking to him. They're not talking to him. They're talking to Hashem through him. So he thinks he thinks Haman's talking to him. Haman's not talking to him. He thinks Mordechai Nes is talking to him. Mordechai Nes is not talking to him. He's just a shy. He's a pup. He's nothing. So when Haman is saying to Achashverosh, here's a Seras Alef and Kikar Kesef, and give me Knesset Yisrael, what he's saying to Hashem is, Rabban Hashem, what do you want? You want Mincha Mairev? You want Shachris Mincha Mairev? You want Tikkunim? You want Nitzutze Kedusha? I represent the 70 nations of the world, and I am willing, I will give you all the 288 Nitzutze, all the Rapach Nitzutzim, I will give you a complete infrastructure of Kedusha. I will guarantee, as the head of the Masailam, that all the Masailam will now serve you, Belev Shalom, it will be Gevaldik. And everything that you're looking for, aren't you looking for Avoida? If you're looking for Avoida, I'll give it to you better than Knesset Yisrael. That's an enticing. In order to make that offer means you have to be holding, right? So what was the answer? The answer is exactly what Hashem said to Bilam. Bilam said the same thing. Bilam made seven Mizbechas. Chazal say corresponding and being opposed to the Mizbech of Adam, of Noyach, and the Ovis, and so on. What's Bilam saying? Bilam saying is, all the Avodah that you want from Knesset Yisrael, I'll give it to you. I'm the head of the Umas Olam. We'll give it to you. And what does Hashem say to Bilam? Hashem says to the manager, Hashem says to Bilam, "Toivli pas charevim mi bayis moli ziv chiriv." The manager quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, I think. The Hashem says, "I'd rather one piece of dry bread than a house full of unbelievable delicacies, but a house full of strife." Toivli pas charevim mi bayis moli ziv chiriv. See, that, in other words, Hashem is saying to Bilam, like, you don't get it. I'm not interested in Shachris Mincha Mayrv. I'm interested in the people that want the Nekuda Pnimis. They want me. Yeah, to find me, you have to have Avoida, Shachris Mincha Mayrv. It's not about that. So Haman is the embodiment of Baal Pa'ar. It's thinking of himself as a big Oivet. But completely missing the Nekuda. That's what Baal Pa'ar is. So again, Mordechai and Esther getting rid of Haman is the same thing as Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, getting rid of Baal Par and getting rid of Bilam. It's the same. It's the same klipa. It's the same klipa. So he says, Nachmal. So he says, Vizel Lashon Purim. That's also the Lashon of Purim. Hainu Bittel Havayda Salilim. Even the word Purim represents to undermine Avodah Zarah. My Shekasva, it says in Pasuk, Pura Derachti Levadi. It's a Pasuk describing Hashem getting rid of all Avodah Zarah with Mashiach. Pura Derachti Levadi, that I'm like Hashem stepping in and destroying things with his feet. I'm doing that myself. Pura is in that context a description of something that needs to be destroyed, which is Avodah Zarah. Umi Amim Ein Ish Iti. And through the light of Mordechai and Esther, which is the hands and the feet, nisbatla kfiras. So then Avodah Zarah, kfira, and so on was removed. And now there's more moon in the world. Let's understand. This is what amun is. Amunah means to be able to find Hashem and not. You see, when there's a disconnect between Aris and Kalim, then you're never really finding Hashem. That's the point. That's the difference. Moshe Rabbeinu means you're looking for Hashem. Right? The Haman, the Bilam type, the Toyu type, they're not finding Hashem. They're not looking for Hashem. They're looking for Aris. They're looking for Madregis. They're looking for Ruchnis. They're looking for Gashmis. They're not looking for Hashem. You look for Hashem, which is Amunah. That's Mordechai and Esther. That's Purim. That Amunah, the Oymen Hadassah, he raised Hadassah, the Lashon of Amunah. Uboksiv kasher hoysa ba'omna itai. So you see, the word of Amunah is associated with Purim. Ki shneim hem b'chinas Amunah, v'zenasai dei haruch kanal. That's the ruach from the heart that invigorates, that enlivens the hands and the feet. That's it, by the way, it's interesting. It doesn't say in halacha, there's no halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Megillah Sester L'mashal, or in Hilchas Purim, there's no halacha that you have to dance and clap and sing on Purim. There's no halacha like that. Says in Pasuk, Mishta v'simcha, Matana Savyainim, and so on. What's Mishta v'simcha? Okay, so Mishta v'simcha means a meal with good food, Yayin, Chulu, it's a later Takana, Chai v'nishal besume. Okay. Where does it say anywhere that you have to have a band, you have to have music and dance? It doesn't say that. There's no Chiv. But Kal Yisrael, that's how we celebrate Purim, is with clapping and dancing. Bashkocha brought this, is because that's again, the unspoken Nakuda that Purim is really a celebration of, which is looking for God himself, the heart that pulsates, the same blood to the hands and the feet to give them life, to clap and dance, to integrate Urs and Kalim, that's how we celebrate Purim. So like I said, if a person landed from Mars, right? I mean, you have to land from Mars, but if a person's like from outside of our world and looks at Purim, they would probably, if they would be asked, like, what aspect of, like, what's the, like, what halachically would you guess is like a dominant feature in Purim, they would say probably music and dancing and clapping, because that's, but it's not like that at all. The answer is that's the Nekuda Pnimis. Hagufa, it can't be said. It can't be said in Shulchan Aruch. You have to dance on Purim. You have to clap on Purim. It's not, because that's the Nekuda that can be articulated. But you find, but when you see it from its, from the way it makes itself known, then you know it's there. Zeb Chinas, so it's already like, okay, fine. I guess we'll stop with this. But that's the, okay. So Bez Hashem, we should be talking Vizaychet to reawaken the Nekuda of Moshe Rabbeinu within us, look for Hashem himself, and be able to dance and sing with the coming of Mashiach.